Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Hello, and welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 106. Five goals for 2014. I want to welcome all of you to the very first episode of the Wargaming Recon podcast for the 2014 recording season. If you are new to the show, welcome aboard. It's a pleasure to have you here. And if you're a longtime listener, thank you for sticking around and coming back for more wargaming goodness here at Wargaming Recon. This episode is kind of a tradition that I've gotten into the past few years where I talk about some goals that I have created just for myself that I want to tackle in the coming year. And then I also like to kind of look back at the previous year in podcasting and talk about what happened, the good, the bad, the amazing, and just use it as some inspiration and take a chance to thank all of you for everything. So I'm not going to facilitate any longer, just going to start in on things and get things going. The very first goal that I have for 2014 is to find a successful balance. I think we can all agree that anywhere in our lives, it's hard to balance things, whether it's work, whether it's family life, or even balancing all that stuff. How much time do we spend with our friends? How much time do we spend with our family? How do we make sure that we do everything we need to at work without having it bleed over into everything else? In podcasting, it's also important to find balance. I'm hoping to be better at balancing the different types of content. Last year did tons of amazing episodes, and I'm going to talk more about last year near the end of the show. But last year did tons of amazing episodes, and most of them were focused on special guests, interviews, and that sort of thing. And I love having guests come on to talk and just chat. It's great. It gives you a chance to hear someone besides me, because you hear me every episode, so it's kind of boring, right? But to hear someone else, that's exciting. That's amazing, right? But sometimes it's nice to do something a little different. So I want to mix up the content this time around. I want to find a nice, successful balance of interviews, of chats, of reviews, live recordings, solo episodes, all that kind of stuff. So that in 2014, you're going to hear a little of everything. You're not just going to hear all of one thing, no matter how amazing that one thing is. I'm also really hoping to find a successful balance of time. I only have so much time in my life to do all the things that I love to do. So much time to work, so much time to spend with my wife, with my family, with my friends, so much time to podcast, so much time to wargame. It's hard. We all know it's hard, but I want to make sure that I'm maximizing the quality and duration of the time that I do spend when I wargame and when I podcast, because to me, they're entwined, right? I could just sit here and talk about wargaming and doing the whole podcast thing, but it's also important for me to have some of that actual wargaming stuff to do, which then feeds into content for the show. But when I'm dedicating time to work on the show, there's a bunch of different things that go into that. There are things like recording an episode like I'm doing right now while I'm talking. Of course, when you're listening, I probably have recorded another 3 or 4 episodes by then. But recording the episode, it takes as long to record it as it takes you to hear it, unless you're playing things back at like double or triple the speed. But otherwise, you figure if a show's an hour long, if a show's 30 minutes, it takes me, you know, an hour long to do the recording. Or maybe it actually takes me longer. Because what you hear is the finished product. You hear the edited product. You don't hear all the craziness that happens while I'm recording. If I make a mistake, you don't hear any pre kind of show recording stuff that guests and I do, where we just kind of chit-chat and break the ice and get things going. You don't hear any of that. So the actual recording can take a lot longer than the finished show. Or it could take a lot less. Editing takes a lot of time. The general rule of thumb is that for a podcaster, if you take the length of the finished episode and you double it, that's about how long a podcaster spends on the show, whether it is things like recording and editing, but usually just focusing on editing. And for me, I do a very light editing. I want it to feel real and authentic. I want you to feel like you're here in the room hanging out with me, and that you and I, we're chatting and we're talking about what's going on right now. And for me, that means leaving in things that maybe aren't perfect. It's not going to be the cleanest, purest sounding podcast out there, and that's okay. That's not what I want. I want you to get the nitty gritty crazy stuff that's going on. I want you to hear me for how I am, how I speak, for what my friends hear when we get together, because you guys, I like friends. So I need you to hear that. So that means I don't do heavy duty editing. Some podcasters do fantastic editing. They go all out and every little nuance, they make it sound amazing, but maybe too good. And that's okay. Different things for different people, right? Nothing wrong with that. But for me, it's not what I'm about. So the amount of time I spend editing, maybe not double that whole episode length kind of thing, but it's a lot of time to do the actual editing, to do things like writing the show notes, to getting all the technical stuff together and putting it out into all the different ways in which you can get it. And doing that promotion takes a lot of time. Writing up those show notes take a lot of time, because I'm not just writing prose. I'm not just saying, oh, so we talked about number one and number two, number three, number four. I'm putting in hyperlinks. I'm creating things. I'm working with other people to get maybe some sort of visual art that's going in. And then I'm also thinking about how I'm going to promote this and when it's going to release, all that sort of stuff. And when I'm promoting it, I'm not just doing it in one place. I'm not just saying, you know it's coming out, so I don't need to tell you anything. I'm actually putting effort into it so that you know you can go to wargamingforums.com/WR106, for example, to get this episode, to get the show notes. You know that you can go to trollitc.com, that you can get the episode there, or at Wargame Vault, because we're there on as well. But then I'm also using things like social media. I'm using social media to promote the episode. So if you are a follower of us on Facebook, wargamingforums.com/FB, you'll be able to get access to our Facebook page. And on there, I'll say, hey, the new episode's out. Come listen to it. It's awesome because so-and-so's on. Or we talked about 5 goals I have for 2014, or whatever the case happens to be. I'm using that for the promotion, but I'm also using social media to connect with everyone, to share cool things that I see that you might enjoy, and also to help build that community. And community is key to me. It is the most important aspect of podcasting. It's the most important aspect of anything, really. That community, I can't say it enough, it's integral. Without that community, nothing else matters. You get that good community, the people who you enjoy spending time with, you enjoy hearing, you enjoy hanging out with, and nothing beats it in the world. Nothing. So community is key. And each of these are aspects of this whole podcasting thing that take up time. If I only have X amount of time in any given week to do all this sort of stuff, I have to divide it out. And I want to make sure that when I'm dividing it out, I'm not putting 90% of my time into, say, promoting episodes and only 10% of time into recording, because that means I don't have any time to edit, any time for social media, and any time for that important community thing. So I need to really make sure that I'm better at doing all of that. In the past, I think I had always placed an emphasis on recording and promoting and a little less on social media, and community are always important, but editing, not so much. I want to try to even things out so that it's not, oh, well, I have 10 hours and I have 10 different things, so I'm going to spend an hour on each thing. No, I want to put the time where it's most important. Some things take more time, some things are more important, but I want to make sure that I'm balancing things so that they receive the time that they need and the time that they deserve. And if that means I need to give a little more time to this whole podcasting thing, that's great, and I'll do it if I can. And if that means that maybe I'm giving more time to one aspect that doesn't need all that extra time, I want to be able to evaluate that and realize it and then make the necessary adjustment, because the purpose of this is to give you a show that's worth your time to listen. Because, yeah, my time's valuable, but so is your time. And your time is even more valuable because you have so many other things that you want to do, and you're choosing to spend some of your valuable time to listen to me. And I really appreciate that. You could be listening to anything else. You could be sitting in front of the TV, you could be reading a book, you could do any number of things, right? And they would all be fantastic, but you're choosing to listen to me. I want to make sure that I continue to be worth you making that choice to listen to me. Because if I'm not worth that, then you should be doing something else. So I have to continue to strive to make sure that I remain worthwhile of your time. Number two of my goals is to actually game. I touched on this a little bit with that first one, finding a successful balance. I realized that in the previous year, I spent so much time talking about gaming and so much time podcasting and scheduling and recording and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't spend much time gaming. And what kind of wargamer would I be sitting in a chair, talking into a microphone, talking to you, talking about wargaming, and not actually gaming? Kind of makes me feel fake. And I love gaming, so I don't want to just be someone who talks about something. I want to be someone who does. Actions speak louder than words, right? We've heard that all our lives. It's well-known parable. It shows up all the time. It's great to say you're going to do something, but it's much better to do it. I am really intending and promising that I am going to make the time to actually game so that I'm not just talking about gaming, that I'm actually gaming. And in the past year, I tried to get in the habit of about once a month or so to have some gaming buddies and some friends come over and mix up the company every now and again. But for one day a month, to have people come over on a Saturday or whatever day worked for me and get together in Wargaming Recon Central and game. And then things kind of fell by the wayside as the year went on. It happens. We get busy. Things go on. Something has to get right. And unfortunately, for too many of us, that happens to be gaming. I fell victim to it too. Don't worry. You're not alone if you had that happen. But I'm really trying to refocus so that gaming becomes a priority. You'll note that gaming isn't my number four. It isn't my number five goal. It's my number two. And yeah, it could be my number one, but it ties in with my number one. So I want to make sure that I actually get involved with gaming, any type of gaming. I love all sorts of casual sort of games where I can get in, have some fun, something quick, play something else. Because for me, gaming is an excuse to get together. It's about that community that I mentioned in number one. It's about getting together with people who I enjoy, having fun, sharing friendly company. That's what gaming's about to me. So I enjoy doing that sort of stuff, and I need to make sure that I make the time for it. I need to make sure that I actually do it. And the plus side of this is, if I actually do that, when I actually do that, I'm going to make this an affirmation when I actually game, that will then result in more content for the show. You'll be able to hear about my gaming, the highs, the lows, when I get my butt kicked across the table, or when I just have amazing success that came out of nowhere. You'll hear all of that on the show. Well, maybe not all, but you'll hear a lot of that. So that's why actually gaming is my second goal for 2014. My third goal is maximizing the resources that I have at hand. There's a lot of things that I have at hand, a lot of resources, right? We have a lot of resources in our life. Us wargamers have a lot of wargaming resources, right? So I'm talking about all sorts of different resources. The first thing that actually came to my mind is something that I was really excited about, and I went all over the moon talking about it a lot in 2012, I think it was, and even in the beginning of 2013. I talked about some new podcast equipment I got. I was like, oh, it's so awesome. It's amazing. I'm going to use it. It's going to be great. You're going to notice a difference. And then I realized that I didn't necessarily know how to use it, and I wasn't really sure how to find out how to use it, so I didn't. And that means not only did I let you down, but I let me down. The stuff has been sitting there, so I need to learn how to use it. And in particular, one piece of equipment I'm thinking of is a mixer. A mixer allows you to take a bunch of different recording things, like a bunch of different microphones, for example, and tie them in together into this one thing called a mixer, this one device. It's like a box. And then it puts everything together, all the sounds and all that kind of stuff. And then it sends it out into one unified stream so that I can then take me talking with someone else talking in person, and then it all comes out together in one thing so that I can then release it to you. So for example, I could be going to, say, a convention like, I don't know, Total Con or Huzzah or Havoc, and I could sit there and I could have my microphone, I could have another microphone there, and I could be there talking with someone incredible, like, oh, I don't know, there's tons of incredible people. Let's say that I happen to go across the pond to England and bring my equipment with me, and I could get together with Henry Hyde or Neil Shook, and we could sit down in person, have a cup of coffee or tea or something, and record live with the mixer. can't do it if I don't know how to use the mixer, right? So that's one resource that I have at hand that I really need to maximize. I need to learn how to fully use it. It's not just the mixer. It's all sorts of other stuff that I have. Don't want to bore you with all of it, but there's all sorts of podcasting kind of things and even gaming sort of stuff. There are things like how to better use techniques for basing, right? Basing seems so simple. You take your model, you paint the base if it has one, or you create one. You can do it out of cardstock. You can do it out of MDF. You can do it out of anything. Make it whatever color you want it to be. You can put some PVA, white Elmer's glue on to the base and dip it into stuff like flock or static grass or whatever. And that looks fine. But you can make it better by doing things like adding different colors and different textures. You can add pebbles and twigs and all sorts of stuff. So I need to get better at all of this kind of stuff and really learn how to use it. And when I'm gaming, I need to make sure that I'm using the models and the rules that I have on hand instead of constantly just buying new stuff that goes into that gigantic lead mountain. Every wargamer seems to have one, right? And I know I'm guilty of having one too, but it would be nice to actually use the stuff in the mountain instead of it just sitting there and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's something else I'd like to do. I'm interested in so many things, and I feel like I flit around a lot. I have some new projects that I want to work on, some that started last year, and I'm really intending to kind of get into that. But before I go crazy with all sorts of new stuff, new models, new skills, new rules, new books, new whatever, I have tons of stuff here already that I should just stick in and use and play and have fun with. It's really, really important. And then another thing is that I want to make sure that I don't focus completely on podcasting when I talk about Wargaming Recon and this whole podcast thing. I want to blog a little bit too. I started off with things way back in the day with an internet message board, and then I moved to a blog. I was like, oh, that's fine, but how about I move on and I'll do a podcast? And I did both kind of. I was more into the blogging than the podcasting, and then it was all podcasts all the time, nothing else. But sometimes it's helpful to do a blog, to put something else in writing instead of always in audio. And audio, this is going to be my primary way for getting you your content, getting you the information. Wargaming Recon, the podcast, is not going to go away. Trust me on that. But it'd be nice for me from time to time to put something up on the blog, a little tidbit of information or something where I can muse about things or maybe do a little brainstorming and share some stuff that I happen to come across, things that maybe are better in writing than they are for you to hear. So that's something I'm hoping to do at least occasionally. I also want to make sure that, number four, I continue to have a focus on charity. If the most important thing to me with this whole podcasting sort of thing is community, the second most important thing to me is charity. I want to make sure that I don't go crazy with having a wide array of charities and ways to give back. I want to really focus on narrowing down what they are and going full force to give back to those. There's someone who's a great example of this, Henry Hyde. He's all about the combat stress appeal. He does some other stuff, and he's really passionate about giving back and helping out. But in anything he does, there's a unifying force when it comes to giving back, and that is the combat stress appeal. So whenever I think of Henry Hyde, I think of combat stress appeal. Whenever I think of combat stress appeal, I think of Henry Hyde. I'd love to be able to get that synergy happening here for Wargaming Recon so that Wargaming Recon and me become synonymous with something else, some charity, whatever it is. And we do things like the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon and Cystic Fibrosis, and there's been other stuff. But I really want to make sure to find something that just clicks with me that I am so passionate about that's really important. And then share that with you so that we, all of us together, can as a community give back and help out to whatever this charity is. And by all means, I'm really hoping that not only am I placing a focus on whatever I'm choosing for a charity, whatever ways I'm choosing to give back, but that I'm hoping to inspire each of us to do more. Anything we're doing is wonderful. It's fantastic. It's great to help other people. But I'd love to be able to inspire us to step it up, to challenge us, to raise our game up a little bit and do as much as we can. And that's what I'm really hoping for with this. And then number five, my final goal for 2014 is to expand. I want to make sure that I'm staying true to the history here at the show and to the show's purpose, because when all is said and done, Wargaming Recon is about me and other wargamers talking with you, wargamers. It's wargamers talking to wargamers. At its simplest, that's what it is. We're sharing what's going on. We're talking about all sorts of cool gaming things. Just kind of having fun. That's what it's all about. So I don't want to grow beyond this whole personal aspect of it, because it's really important for me that we stay down to earth, stay accessible, stay real, have that authenticity. You ever watch a TV show, right? You see this TV show and you really enjoy it, but then it becomes more and more popular, more and more people like it, and then eventually, a few seasons later, that TV show kind of loses what made it amazing, and it still continues on because it's so popular, and everyone's like, oh, well, it must be good because everyone else is watching it. But you feel that collective sense that it lost something that made it true. And then eventually the show dies and it goes away and then another show comes on. I don't want that to happen here. I want us to continue on here at Wargaming Recon with what makes Wargaming Recon, Wargaming Recon. What makes this show awesome. But at the same time, I'd like to grow. Touch into some new areas. Deal with some new stuff. The tagline for the show has been that we cover historical and New England gaming. And that's not going to change. We're going to continue to cover historical and New England gaming. But there's some ways in which I can kind of stretch things a little bit. And I did that a little bit in 2013. Whenever I'm thinking of what's going to come up in a new episode, what sort of content I'm going to do, whether it's a guest or just topic, I always try to think, well, is it really going to fit in with what Wargaming Recon's about? Is it going to fit in with the mission, the vision statement? Is it, at its most base, is it historical when it comes to gaming? Or does it happen in New England? And if the answer is yes, great, it makes it on the show. And if it is no, then it does not. So I'm going to try to reinterpret things a little bit so that, in particular with New England, I want to try to broaden the appeal of that. Because I think it's important to show what's happening here in New England. Because we have a vibrant gaming community. And I want to stretch out into more areas of New England that I've covered previously. But I also want to be able to use that as a way to kind of touch on some other things. Things that maybe a little bit more fandom and geeky. And not a lot of this stuff. I don't want to scare anyone. Just a tiny smidgen of it. Because we're more than one-dimensional people, right? We're not just wargamers. It's something that we are. But we're more than that. There's many aspects to us, many faces to the dice that we roll when we game. So I want to be able to kind of get into all of these different things. And to do so in a tasteful and fun sort of way, continue with the way that the show is, but to do new stuff. And at the same time, I know there's only so much that I can do as a one-man operation, as a one-person operation. All the stuff that you see, all the stuff that you hear, all the stuff that you experience that says Wargaming Recon on it is either created completely or in part by me or overseen by me. It's something that I've had a strong hand in. And that's important, right? Because that allows me to make sure things are cohesive and they adhere to what the show is. But I want to make sure that at the same time, I'm not afraid or hesitant to ask for help from other podcasters, from other gamers, from listeners like you. There are some things that I do here on the show, social media in particular, that can be a full-time job. I don't always have time for that. So I've been trying to get better about asking for help. And one listener who turned guest, who's also a friend, Aaron Boston, had been really good. He was able to dedicate some time and volunteer to do some stuff for us on Facebook. And I love that. Of course, life happens and things get in the way, so he's not as able to do as much of that as he once was. I am so appreciative to Aaron for everything that he has done. Being able to selflessly volunteer time like that, it's not easy, and I'm so appreciative. But I can only do so much, whether it's on Google+, whether it's on Facebook, or whatever, Instagram, or any of this kind of stuff. I only have so much time. It goes back to that first goal of mine, finding a successful balance. So don't be surprised if in coming episodes, if on social media or wherever, I happen to put out a little call out saying, hey guys, hey ladies, I could use your help. Anyone has some spare time who could help me type up show notes, who could post something on Facebook or any of that kind of stuff. Just kind of see who has time and willingness to volunteer. I know that each of you are very busy in your own lives and you have many things that you do, but I also know that you're passionate about all this, because if you weren't, you wouldn't be listening. And maybe, just maybe, you have a little bit of time that you can spare down the road to help me out with whatever happens to be coming up. So I'm going to try to get better at being willing and putting myself out there to ask for help as I expand what's going on, but also to expand what's happening already. Not in scope necessarily, not saying to add more things on, but to expand what's already here. There are many things that I've said that I want to do or that we've been doing, but that can be done better, that can improve, and that would involve expanding myself, and I can only expand so far. You can't clone me, right? You can't make 9 or 10 of me go around and one version of me doing this and one version of me doing that. I need other people to help out. So I'm going to try to get better about that. So those are my 5 goals for 2014. Just to recap for all of you, number 1 is to find a successful balance. Number 2 is to actually game. Number 3 is to maximize the resources that I have at hand. Number 4 is to continue to focus on charity. And number 5 is to expand. Now that we've looked forward into the new year, as I shared what I want to do in 2014, I want to take some time to look in the rearview mirror, to pull out those 2020 vision goggles and look at 2013. So I can tell you a little bit about what happened last year. So as I said at the top of the show, I said that I got in the habit over the past few years of doing these goals for the new year episodes, and I coupled them with some blog entries where I compile stats and numbers, because I kind of geek out on that sort of thing, but compile that kind of information and look back to see what the highs and lows were for the previous year. So the first time I think I actually did this was in 2012. In 2012, as that year ended and 2013 was starting, I happened to look back at the year of 2012 and I was very excited because the show was downloaded 4,909 times. That's right, 4,909 listeners cumulatively for every episode that was released in 2012. And I was like, oh my God, that's almost 5,000 listeners, 5,000 downloads for a whole year. That's awesome. So I was head over heels, right? I was trying to think of all the different expressions I could use. Over the moon, head over heels. I was just beyond excited that in 2012 it had 4,909 downloads. Well, then I came and I did the same thing for 2013, because 2013 was coming to a close. You guys know that I've gotten into the habit of releasing the holiday gift guide episode and maybe one or two more episodes at most, but that basically I take most of December off each year and part of January, and then I come back about halfway through January with the first episode of the new year. So during that time, I use that time to do this kind of stuff, because it takes time to play with numbers, right? Well, I discovered some really cool things, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a breakdown of some stuff. But before I do, I just want to tell you, remember how I said 2012 had 4,909 downloads, which I was stunned in excitement about? So in 2013, I released 20 new episodes. Plus, I added a re-release of 2 classic episodes. So when I did that, I took a couple episodes from the vault and I did some new editing and kind of spruced them up, that sort of thing, and then re-released them. Not counting those classic episodes, just in the 20 new ones, I managed to reach 17,555 listeners. That's right, 17,555 downloads, streams, live listens, all that kind of stuff. 17,500 people in 2013. So let's imagine that you're someone who likes cake, because I like cake. And if you've seen any pictures of me on our Facebook page, wargamingforums.com/FB, if you've seen any pictures of me, you can tell by looking at me that I'm a guy who likes cake, right? Because you don't look the way I do if you dislike cake or chocolate or ice cream. But anyway, so let's pretend you really like cake. And then let's pretend that these numbers represent cake. So in 2012, there was one cake. And in 2013, there were 3 big cakes and 1 half cake, 1 tiny cake. That's how much the number of listeners has increased in 2013 compared to 2012. 3.5 times, 350% increase. I am... Can you hear that I'm smiling right now? That sounds odd to say. I heard a podcaster say that once. And when I listened back, I thought, you can really hear the excitement because his mouth opened up and he started... I can hear it. 350% increase. 17,500 people listened to Wargaming Recon in 2013. Thank you. I can't say anything else, but thank you. That just blows my mind. On top of that, I want to tell you that the 10 most popular episodes of 2013 had more listeners combined than every single episode released in 2012. So the 10 most popular episodes I released in 2013, half of the episodes that I released in 2013, had more listeners than every episode released in 2012. I'm just like, whoa, that's amazing. Another way to put this is that 3.5 people, imagine an elf, a wizard, a human, and a hobbit, right? 3.5 people listened to each episode in 2013 for every one person that listened in 2012. I think that's amazing. So I mentioned these top 10 episodes, right? Let me just go down the list. And this is a list I made at the end of 2013. So numbers are a little different now because as time goes on, more people listen to stuff. But let me just go through the top 10 episodes, and then I have two honorable mentions that I'm going to include. The most popular episode of 2013 was episode 90, Henry Hyde, editor of Miniature Wargames, now with Battle Games. Henry's episode had over 1,300 listeners. Number two was episode 89, More Secrets of Wargame Design. This is always a popular one. We talked about Wally Simon's More Secrets of Wargame Design. It's always a blast to do, and it's always interesting because when I do episodes with that particular guest, he doesn't have any way to record other than the telephone. So I have to do a special telephone type recording, and the quality is never as good as when I'm recording into a mic on my own or with someone on Skype or Google Plus or any of that kind of stuff. But there's a few reasons why I do it. One, because the guest, Russ Lockwood, is amazing. He's such a fun guy. He has tons to say. He's very knowledgeable about American wargaming. And also because you guys like to hear him talk. You enjoy him, and rightfully so. So his episode, More Secrets of Wargame Design, over 1,200 listeners. The third most popular was a really strange one for me because I wasn't the host. Episode 93, Interviewing Jonathan, Part 1, featured guest Aaron Bostian as he turned the tables on me, and he was guest host and put me into the interviewee chair. So I got to sit on the other side of the table, and he asked me all sorts of questions, and that it was a lot of fun to be able to talk about things that are wargaming, but maybe just on the periphery. But to kind of talk about all sorts of different stuff, and to know that I wasn't the one in charge. I didn't get to direct the conversation. I had to go where he wanted to bring it, which was really interesting. That one had over 1,200 listeners, too. In fact, it only had 2 listeners fewer than the More Secrets of Wargame Design. And here I was thinking all this time that you guys love these guest episodes because you like to hear the other person talk. Maybe you actually do enjoy hearing me talk. Number 4 was another guest episode. Episode 94 was Rogue Chess with Peter Blix Bryant. Blix had over 1,000 listeners as he talked about his first Kickstarter for Rogue Chess, which was a really cool idea that was successfully kickstarted, and I'm waiting for my stuff to arrive, where you add special moves to how chess is played. It's very cool. I highly recommend you listen to it. Number 5, I was worried this wasn't going to make the top 10 list, because when you have your hopes set so high as I did for the episode I'm about to mention, you always worry that maybe things aren't going to work out the way you had, well, the way you hoped. So number 5 was episode 100, 100 Wargaming Tips, 1,023 listeners. What I really enjoyed about that episode, and I wanted to use the 100th episode as a way to say thank you to all of you who've been supportive, who listen, who've encouraged me, who game, just all of you. What I really loved was that the content came from wargamers like you. It was crowdsourced. I didn't come up with each of the tips. I put it out there. I said, hey, who has tips? Give me what you, your favorite, whatever it is. Let's talk about this. Tell me what you want. And then I put your stuff in. So that was a really fun and interesting one to do. Number 6 was episode 91, Aaron Bostian and How Wargamers Can Give Back. That had 996 listeners. This was the first time, I think, that Aaron was in the hot seat as a guest. Aaron had been a listener, and I was like, Aaron, how about we get together and talk about some stuff? Because he does all sorts of things. And he's had some really great ideas on how wargamers can give back, as the title of the episode suggests. That was a lot of fun to do. I'm passionate about giving back, in case you can't tell. And it was just great to be able to combine all sorts of things with that episode. Number 7 was Wargames Magazines with Jasper Orthoys. Episode 95, or as they would say over there, Jasper Orthoys, had 994 listeners. And I don't know if you're paying any attention to the numbers here of listeners, but can you tell it's really, really close? Henry Hyde's episode, over 1,300 listeners, number 1. And then we dropped down, number 2 was over 1,200 listeners. So only about 75 listeners different. Number 3 was only 3 listeners less. And then each of these, it's really close. All these episodes are so popular. It's not like there's one episode that was runaway. The pack is really tight. Number 8, episode 101, Jay Libby and Dilly Green Bean Games. 974 people listened to that. That's just out of this world. Jay's an amazing guy. And I don't want to go too long into this, but Jay's an amazing guy who co-founded this fantastic gaming company up in Maine. I got to get to know Jay from TotalCon and then from just kind of networking and communicating online through social media. It's amazing. I've really grown to... He's an incredible guy, is the best way to put it. And I had a blast talking with him on episode 101. The 9th most popular episode is episode 92, Building an Affordable Game Table. That had 970 people listen to it. And this was a cool episode because my buddy Court had come up with a great way that you could create a game table for not a whole lot of money. It was actually so easy that I, who am not mechanically capable in any way, shape, or form, was able to do it with some help from my dad, who is very capable with all of this kind of stuff. And it didn't cost a lot of money. I think it was under 50... No, that's not... It was under like 80 bucks or 90 bucks at most. So I highly recommend listening to that episode. And then finally, episode 10... episode 96, rather, number 10, was Pay What You Want with Ben Gerber. 857 people listened to that. Now, this is one of those episodes that I was kind of torn about whether I should or should not include, because Ben discussed how he, as an indie game designer and publisher, could use a new method from WarGameVault/DriveThruRPG, where instead of putting a price on his stuff, or instead of giving it away for free, he could mark his products as Pay What You Want, leaving it up to whoever purchases them to choose what they think it's worth. Is it worth a buck? Is it worth nothing? Is it worth 50 bucks? Whatever. It's kind of like a tip jar that you see on different websites or when you go to the coffee shop, where you can say, I like what you're doing, so I'm going to give you extra, or I just want to try something out. And that's cool. So you're going to try it out for free, and then maybe later on you do something else. What really put it over the top for me to decide, yeah, this is worth doing, is that so many wargamers are creating their own rules, their own products that they're sharing and that they're selling. And maybe instead of pricing themselves out of business, or maybe not asking for enough for what their stuff is worth, maybe this pay what you want method is the way to go. Maybe leave it up to the customer to say, dude, don't charge $5 for that. That's worth like $25. Let me give you $25 for that, because that's totally worth it. Or what do you think in charging $50 for this? This is really only a $35 product. I should give you $35 instead of whatever. So it can work either way, and it's really interesting. But I was hesitant in the beginning about putting that episode up. Good thing I did. 857 of you liked it. So that's a top 10. There's an interesting story with the top 10 here. As the year was kind of winding down, I reached out to some of the people who were on the list on these special guest episodes, because like I said, it was tight. And I said, hey, did you know that you're really close with so-and-so? I bet if you motivate your fan base, you'll get some more listeners and more downloads, and then maybe you'll move up the list. So I had like 4 or 5 people involved and just really going, oh, well, let me spread the word about this and let me spread the word about this. And it was really interesting to see how in the final weeks of 2013, how the numbers changed. There wasn't a whole lot of adjustment in the standings. Most episodes stayed where they were. But what was interesting was that the numbers continued to climb and climb and climb. I really enjoyed that sort of one-on-one marketing campaign that they did, because these people, they were promoting themselves, and yeah, they're promoting the show here. So ultimately, we benefit here at Wargaming Recon, because the more they got people to download and listen, the more people were downloading and listening to hear and seeing what I'm doing. But at the end of the day, it's really helping the gaming community in as a whole. It's helping all of us who are in New England, who create content for gaming, whether it's role-playing games, whether it's tabletop games, whether it's war games, whatever it is, it's helping all of us, because if they're helping me and I'm helping them, it all comes out in the wash. We're promoting what we do and we're spreading the word about gaming in general. And that's really important. One unifying thing for a lot of these people was that they're all in some way, shape, or way tied to TotalCon, the people that I emailed, that is. So really, at the end of the day, a New England convention made up, because we all, in our episodes, talked about how amazing TotalCon is and how much we love going and how important it is to go to a convention that's near you if you're able to. So TotalCon made out. I'm always okay with that. I'm always happy when someone else is making out better than I am, because for me, again, it's the community. And like I said, I have a couple of honorable mentions that I want to share with you. The first one actually ties in with TotalCon. It came in number 11 on the list, but it was so close. Only seven people below being tied. It was episode 97, How to Run a Successful Convention Game with Angela Parento. Angela is the promotional director for Total Confusion, and she was on the show twice this year. She actually was there number 11, but she also was tied for number 18. Her episode 86, Angela, TotalCon's promotional director, had tons of listeners, so it was a blast having her on. And the reason why I give her a big honorable mention here is she benefited a lot from that final push that she did. She really managed to motivate her listeners, her fan base, to access the show and download and stream. So she had managed to climb up. She was in like the low 800s or the high 700s. And then more and more people downloaded and got the show and spread the word. And lo and behold, she ended up with 850 people listening to that particular episode. And that episode, really important, especially for me, because in the past few years, my gaming friends and I, Adrian Court and myself, have been running games at TotalCon. So we've learned the hard way some of the things that you should do and some of the things that you should not do. But there are first timers out there, people like you guys who are listening, who are thinking, well, maybe I'll run something at a trade show or a club game day. And you don't want to make mistakes that are going to hurt you or going to hurt the event. You want to have a good time, so you want to make sure that you do all that you can so that it is a success. And I felt Angela really had some great content to help you be better event organizers. And then the other special honorable mention is the final episode for 2013, episode 105, Wargame Holiday Center with John and Diane Sutherland. At the time that I made this whole list, like I said, it was at the end of the year, and their episode had just come out right before Christmas, mere week or two before I'd made the list, and it had 503 listeners. That's nothing to sneeze back about. But I felt really bad, because those are amazing numbers, but their episode came in second to last, and I was like, oh man, I know it's going to get better as time goes on, and it's only been a couple weeks, and as time progresses and more people get a chance to talk about things, they're going to get more people to listen to this and maybe more people to be excited about what they're doing. But it's hard because of Christmas season and Kwanzaa and Winterville and Hanukkah and all that kind of stuff. People are busy, so they're not going to spend as much time listening to podcasts. I felt really bad about it. Whenever I have a guest on, I really want to make sure that it's worth their time to come on, because they're taking time out of their busy schedule, just like you are, to listen. But they're taking time to promote what they're doing. I want to make sure that they're getting value for their time, that they're seeing some sort of return. And whether it's someone who's selling a product, and I hope that they're seeing people purchase their product, or whether it's someone just blogging or podcasting that maybe they see an influx of listeners or readers. I have people on because I think you'll like them, but I have them on because they're people I believe in and people that I feel are incredible, people who do something valuable and worthwhile. I try to avoid having anyone on who doesn't stir that fire in my belly. So whenever I have someone on and they're promoting something and I'm promoting something for them, you can rest assured that it's something that I'm putting my stamp of approval on, that I'm saying, this is awesome, you gotta check it out. So I was worried that you weren't getting that as much with that episode, because not as many people listening to it. Well, it's been a few weeks since I made my list, and lo and behold, in just, well, in 13 days, actually, as I look at my note, their number, John and Diane's number, has gone up 111. It is now at 614 listeners. So that moves him all the way from second to last up to number 16 on the list. That's amazing. John and Diane are fantastic people. They're going to be coming back in 2014, and I'm looking forward to every second I get to chat with them. But this is an interesting story. You guys have learned by now that once I start talking, you can't shut me up, right? Because I never give up. I always have a story about something. And there's a story about their episode. So I was talking on the Meeples and Miniatures Facebook fan page the other day. I was talking with a previous listener, and this other individual had come on, and I happened to mention in the comment that I'm the Wargaming Recon guy. So this other person was like, wait, you're the Wargames Recon guy? And they were really excited because they had listened to John and Diane's episode, and they said to their wife that they were really excited about this Wargame Holiday Center, so much so that the next time that they plan their next European trip, that it's going to be to Crete, that he intends to book a vacation at the Wargaming Center. And when he talked about it with his wife, this individual, his name is David, his wife's response was, and I quote, "Sure, I'll hang out in the sun in Crete while you play games in a basement. No problem, I love it." David also happened to mention to me that because of hearing that episode and John and Diane's guest appearance, that he went out and he bought a digital copy of the book Mega War Games, which I talked about in the episode, and which made it into the holiday gift guide for 2013. It's great to see numbers, it's great to see things that go up, and great to see the stats, but what does it for me are these stories. The stories about how people are touched and influenced and receive content. How people receive Wargaming Recon and what you guys do with it. Because, yeah, I love hearing that you're listening to the show. I love that. But what I love even more is knowing what you do with it. Knowing that you get so excited that someone like David wants to book a trip to Crete to go wargaming because they heard John and Diane talk about it here on the show. That's what I think is really cool. So that's my little story about episode 105, Wargame Holiday Center with John and Diane Sutherland. Now, I just have a few factual tidbits to share with you from 2013. So this might be boring for some of you. If so, just skip forward about 20, 30 seconds. But in 2013, 877.75 people listened to each episode on average. How you get 3/4 of a person, I don't know, but in numbers, it's possible. Aaron Boston was the most frequent guest. He had 3 appearances as a guest and 1 appearance as guest host. In one entire year, I spent 353 hours on Wargaming Recon. That counts any recording I did, editing, scheduling of guests, blogging, emailing, social media, all that kind of stuff. 353 hours. The podcast appeared at 2 cons, TotalCon and Havoc. If you were to listen to every episode released in 2013, you would need to spend 30 hours of your life to do so. You can find the show through 4 major outlets. You can subscribe on iTunes, wargamingforums.com/iTunes. You can visit wargamingrecon.com. You can visit trollitc.com or wargamevault.com. You can get the show any one of those ways. Here's an interesting tidbit. 69% say, of listeners either subscribe to the show through iTunes or listen from Wargaming Recon, whether that means downloading it using the download link on each episode or streaming it live. There were 11 new guests this year, or rather 2013. So 11 out of 15 guests were new. 166 people are fans of the Facebook page, and 127 people follow the show on Twitter. So I don't use Twitter as much as I should, and that's something I hope to improve. But 127 of you get information about the show on there, and quite a few of you get it on Facebook, and more of you are liking our Facebook page and sharing with your friends and seeing all the stuff that goes on there. We use that to share just anything I find kind of cool or interesting along with promoting the show, promoting other people is what I like to do, other wargamers, other game designers, all that kind of stuff. Now, I want to let you know that there are some new things for 2014, things that I didn't cover in the goals. First, and actually only really, the most important thing is that I've finally created an episode guide for 2014. You can get it by going to wargamingforums.com slash episode guide. That's all lowercase. Episode, E-P-I-S-O-D-E, guide, G-U-I-D-E, no spaces, episode guide. And what's really cool about this is that it lists all of the upcoming episodes. It gives you a general theme or topic for that episode, any potential guests, and the expected date that it will release. So if you were to look there right now, and of course, content's always liable to change, you'll see that February 3rd, episode 107 releases. It'll be titled How to Transform Your Girl into a Gamer. And it actually has a guest of Aaron Boston. You'll also see episode 108 comes out on February 17th. It is titled Con Industry Guests Do's and Don'ts with guest Jay Libby, who is co-owner of Dilly Green Bean Games. Then episode 109 comes out on March 3rd. It is the live recording from TotalCon 2014. That's right, TotalCon. I'll talk about that in a second. But TotalCon live recording. I did this at last year's con. I talked about what happened as it was happening. And then I released that when I came back and put it up. It was like 3 or 4 hours of content. It was different because at some points I had imbibed in adult beverages. We try to keep the show very PG, PG-13. And it was even then. But the content was a little freer than it normally is, less regimented, let's say. So it had all sorts of that kind of stuff, and I intend to have a similar atmosphere for episode 109. Then episode 110, it feels really weird even saying that we're up into episode numbers of 100 plus. But episode 110 comes out on March 17th, and that is Mythwits. It'll be having a special guest, Peter Bryant, who is the host of Mythwits. It's a brand new podcast, talks about geekdom and gaming and all that kind of stuff. Interesting side note, at some point in 2014, I will be a guest on Mythwits. And then episode 111 comes out on March 30th. This is one I'm really looking forward to. It is titled HuzzaCon 2014. It'll have a guest, Dean Emerson, who is a member of MHWA, and he's also an organizer of Huzzah! So those are some cool things that you would find by going to the episode guide, wargamingforums.com/episode guide. And we'll be adding to that as things progress. You'll see also near the end of 2014, we have the holiday gift guide planned, the final episode for 2014 planned. We have all sorts of stuff. In total, I think we have 23 episodes planned. Hopefully we actually get all 23 out there. So it'll be really cool to make that happen. Speaking of TotalCon, as I did a moment ago and as I did earlier in the show, I want to remind all of you that we will be at TotalCon this year. I'm going to be running an event with Adrian and Court. It'll be muskets and tomahawk rolls with 54mm toy soldier scale models. It's going to be a lot of fun. And TotalCon happens February 20th to the 23rd of 2014. That covers Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, my event happens on the Saturday at 1 o'clock. Like I said, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're having all sorts of fun putting things together and getting it ready for all of you to listen. So I can't wait for this to happen and to just see how it goes, but I'm just going to read you the little blurb about it. And maybe, just maybe, if you're in the area, you'll come on by to TotalCon. It's in Mansfield, Massachusetts at the Holiday Inn. And maybe you'll say, hey, I want to go and I want to play in the game that Jonathan is running. It's called Raid on Pitt's Landing 1755. Like I said, it's muskets and tomahawk rolls. Saturday, 1 p.m. We need a minimum of 2 players. It's introductory. We're not going to teach you how to play, but you can be a beginner. You don't need any experience with muskets and tomahawks. If you have any experience playing wargaming or any sort of tabletop miniatures, that's a plus, but it's not necessary. So the little blurb is, using the muskets and tomahawks rules, players control 54mm models in this non-historical scenario set in the French and Indian War, 1754 to 1763. Shortly after the French capture Fort Duquesne, present-day Pittsburgh, a French and Indian force is attacking the small British settlement of Pitt's Landing with instructions to burn the settlement to the ground and inflict as many casualties as possible. Hopefully you'll be able to come on by and play, or at least say hello. I know some listeners are going to be at the con anyway. I'm looking forward to meeting up again with Patrick and some other guests and just all sorts of people. So it'll be a lot of fun. Maybe we'll have some sort of informal get together and just kind of hang out and chat and play some games. Well, I want to wind this episode down. It's been jam-packed. Want to just say that it's been fun. 2013 began with episode 85, and that feels like a lifetime ago. And now 2014 is beginning with episode 106. It blows my mind. It feels surreal. So I want to just take a moment to give you a few final thoughts that I had about 2013 and as things progress. So a lot happened in 2013. My wife and I bought our first house. The first dedicated podcast studio for Wargaming Recon was created. Wargaming Recon Central was erected where I get to wargame with my buddies and some listeners. The show had received an official press pass to Total Con. Together we, yes, all of us, you, me, everyone, all of us, together, we raised $385 for the Extra Life 25-hour Gamerthon. A brilliant web designer managed to make the website pretty accessible and mobile-friendly. An incredible graphic designer created a very special podcast logo for the show and then created an even more amazing special episode logo for the 100th anniversary. Oh yeah, we aired our 100th episode with content created by wargamers like you. That was amazing. Some fans managed to get the hands on gifts of Wargaming Recon t-shirts, and some even managed to receive Christmas cards for the very first time. That's something I'm hoping to repeat in 2014. Most importantly, some of my dreams managed to come true. The show is reaching more listeners than ever. Listeners like you are not passive. You're interacting with me, you're communicating with me. Really belonging to such a friendly, inspiring, and passionate community is something that I've longed for, and it's something that I love. It's probably old for you to hear this, because if you've been listening to the show for many, many episodes, I say this a lot, and I know you can be like, oh, geez, dude, not again. But it's true. My absolute favorite part of podcasting continues to be to communicate with each and every one of you. It's what I look forward to the most. Every time I see an email from you, every time I see a message, it makes my day. So I love getting that kind of stuff. Your emails, your messages, your comments, your posts, your feedback, all of that. It's more valuable than you're ever going to realize. Nothing beats the feeling of meeting a listener in person and then getting to know them. Through the year, I've managed to get to know more and more of you. I cherish those connections, and I really look forward to strengthening them in the year to come. In a small way, I hope that what happens here at Wargaming Recon will put a smile on your face, a model on your table, and a con at your disposal, as you always keep on gaming! So, ladies and gents, that is a wrap as we kick off the 2014 podcasting season here at Wargaming Recon. Thank you again, all of you, for taking the time to listen to this episode and to be there, to be who you are. So I am, as always, appreciative, thankful, and humbled by all that you do. So you know the deal. You know you have to keep on gaming. You know I just said it. I'm not going to say it. Well, maybe I will say it again. But don't forget, there'll be a new episode coming out before too long. If you're ever in doubt, be sure to head over to the episode guide, wargamingforums.com/episode guide. And if you want the show notes for this episode, you need to head on over to wargamingforums.com/WR106. That's WR106. And that'll have stuff we talked about, links, and all the usual things. So thank you very much, and we'll be back next time on Wargaming Recon. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial ShareAlike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
If you heard it and you do like it, good. If you don't like it, what I'm supposed to do.